CD 5.
It was just that she was fed up with books of etiquette and lineage and Twerp's peerage of the 15 mountains and the Stow plains. You had to know this kind of thing to be a queen. There were books full of the stuff in the long gallery, and she hadn't even explored the far end. How to address the third cousin of an earl, what the pictures on shields meant, all those lions passant and regardant. And the clothes weren't getting any better. Magrat had drawn the line at a wimple, and she wasn't at all happy about the big pointy hat with the scarf dangling from it. It probably looked beautiful on the Lady of Shalott, but on Magrat it looked as though someone had dropped a big ice cream on her neck. Nanny Ogg sat in front of her fire in her dressing gown, smoking her pipe and idly cutting her toenails. There was the occasional ping and ricochet from distant parts of the room, and a small tinkle as an oil lamp was smashed. Granny Weatherwax lay on her bed, still and cold, in her blue-veined hands the words, "I ain't dead." Her mind drifted across the forest, searching, searching. The trouble was, she could not go where there were no eyes to see or ears to hear, so she never noticed the hollow near the stones where eight men slept and dreamed. Lancre is cut off from the rest of the lands of mankind by a bridge over Lancre Gorge, above the shallow but poisonously fast and treacherous Lancre River. The Lancrastrians did not consider geography to be a very original science. The coach pulled up at the far end. There was a badly painted red, black and white post across the road. The coachman sounded his horn.
What's up? Said Ridcully, leaning out of the window.
Troll bridge.
Oops.
After a while, there was a booming sound under the bridge, and a troll clambered over the parapet. It was quite overdressed for a troll. In addition to the statutory loincloth, it was wearing a helmet. Admittedly, it had been designed for a human head and was attached to the much larger troll head by string, but there probably wasn't a better word than wearing.
What's up? Said the bursar, waking up. There's a troll on the bridge, said Ridcully, but it's underneath a helmet, so it's probably official and will get into serious trouble if it eats people. Nothing to worry about.
Trolls, a life form based on silicon rather than carbon, can't in fact digest people, but there's always someone ready to give it a try. The bursar giggled because he was on the up-curve of whatever switchback his mind was currently riding. The troll appeared at the coach window.
"Afternoon, your lordships," it said. "Customs inspection."
"I don't think we have any," babbled the bursar happily. "I mean, we used to have a tradition of rolling boiled eggs downhill on Soul Cake Tuesday, but..."
"I means," said the troll, "do you have any beer, spirits, wines, liquors, hallucinogenic herbage, or books of a lewd or licentious nature?"
Ridcully pulled the bursar back from the window.
"No," he said.
"No."
"No."
"Sure?"
"Yes."
"Would you like some?"
"We haven't even got," said the bursar, despite Ridcully's efforts to sit on his head, "any billy goats."
There are some people that would whistle Yankee Doodle in a crowded bar in Atlanta. Even these people would consider it tactless to mention the word billy goat to a troll. The troll's expression changed very slowly, like a glacier eroding half a mountain. Ponder tried to get under the seat.
"So we'll just trit trot along, shall we?" said the bursar, his voice by now slightly muffled.
He doesn't mean it," said the Arch-Chancellor quickly. It's the dried frog talking."
"You don't want to eat me," said the bursar. "You want to eat my brother. He's..."
"Well, no," said the troll. "Seems to me that..."
He spotted Casanunda.
"Oh-ho," he said. "Dwarf smuggling, eh?"
"Oh, don't be ridiculous, man," said Ridcully. "There's no such thing as dwarf smuggling."
"Oh, yeah? Then what's that you've got there?"
"I'm a giant," said Casanunda.
"Giants are a lot bigger. I've been ill."
The troll looked perplexed. This was postgraduate thinking for a troll, but he was looking for trouble. He found it on the roof of the coach where the librarian had been sunbathing.